Blog Talk Radio.
Done as the other guy.
And I know there's a lot of hometown folks on this card, so it adds a little bit to the whole thing. I think Steve is one of them, so we'll get them on, and we'll talk about that probably within the next few minutes here. We're going to do the quick wrap-up of boxing and MMA. Of course, we have the news of another boxing death, Tony, and it seems like, you know, the old saying that boxing is dying is starting to come out literally, huh?
Well, it's scary. Unfortunate things happen for a reason. I hope this is the third and final. This weekend, we got the tragic news that Vernon Forrest, a multiple-time world champion, was shot and killed down in Atlanta, Georgia. And Vernon, you know, one of the really true nice guys in the sport. I was reading some articles about him. A lot of people, even Sugar Shane Mosley, who Forrest sold two wins over, just had a lot of tremendously nice things to say about him. What happened was Vernon, and I think it was like a young nephew or a stepson, maybe, I'm not sure. They stopped at a gas station to put air in his tires, and Marcus Allen tried to hijack the car with the young boy was still in. And Vernon, who was also armed, gave chase to the guy. Apparently, the second perpetrator was lying in ambush with the semi-automatic weapon, and Ben Forrest down. He died in the hospital, which is a real tragedy. They were talking about things that Forrest did, helping out people with developmental and mental disabilities. And he was just a real quality human being, 38 years old, far too young. And like a few weeks ago, with our poor guy, he was 37. I don't know if you saw the news today, Rich, but the Associated Press is reporting that Gotti's death is now being ruled a suicide.
What? That's crazy.
Yes. I'm serious. I was talking about, my mom called me up and she goes, Gotti's death is a suicide. I said, what do you come up with that? And she sent me the article. And the Associated Press, they were saying, but you got to understand, Rich, this is down in Brazil. His wife is from Brazil.
Right.
Now they're saying that his body was found, hung, and suspended. And there was no way she could have lifted him up to do that. Just figured, and his last fighting weight, he was 147. So she kind of figured he's probably around 180, 185.
Right.
And she said, there's no way she could pick him up to do that. Well, and they said, they didn't see anybody else come into the apartment, or, so they're saying, no way she could have done. Well, where did this come then with the purse strap? They found blood on this purse strap, which they thought was, as you and I said a week ago, that maybe when he was drunk, that she got it around his throat and she ran back on him. And then the other question I had was, where did this wound on the back of his head come?
Right.
And they're like, well, wait, he fell down. And I'm like, come on. You first of all, stabbed yourself in the back of the head. And second of all, okay, maybe he was drunk and fell down and split his head open and fell to kill himself. But the only other thing I thought of tonight was, I think maybe just leave a little bit of possibility of this scenario. Is a couple years ago when Chris Benoit, a professional wrestler, murdered himself and his whole family. They were talking about, okay, maybe the steroids and the prescription pills. But they also did a study on Chris Benoit because he used to do a flying headbutt as one of his trademark moves. And they took from doing that for so many years, and also doing a lot of suplexes and moves where he landed on his head, he had the brain tissue of an 85-year-old man.
Yeah, I remember doing that.
Yeah, he could have had, if you figure, he took more punches than Gotti. Right? I know that they, in fact, tonight was the night they were doing his, farewell ceremony in Jersey. They had his funeral in Montreal last week, but they were doing a
memorial.
Yeah, memorial.
It's been pretty crazy with all these deaths, and people talking about more and more the whole idea of what does a boxer do in retirement, and how do we take care of these guys? Because obviously Vernon Forrest is not one of those types, but you've got Arguello and Gotti were both those kind of guys. Gotti had, I guess, a jewelry thing going on, and he had money. But it seems like, when they retire, it's like it's like a whole different story, and then life becomes very tough for them all of a sudden. Tougher than yeah. when they were a fighter in some cases.
I remember reading, which I know you didn't know this guy, still on the college circuit, I actually fought against him a couple times, Arby's name was Dave Adams. I think he won the national title in 98, the year that, you know, you and I were 185. He won in 165. Well, I knew Dave, and Dave had worked beautiful for Army. He wrote a story about, you know, he was originally a kickboxer, then he went into regular boxing, and the one thing he said was, like, when you're in there, because you're in a sport that's a one-on-one sport, and you see a lot of times, there's, like, a lot of big boxers, and a lot of these mixed martial artists, you know, they do things that, you know, are just, you know, inconceivable, because it's a one-on-one sport, you know, you can't be replaced, you can't have somebody come off the bench for you, you really don't get a break, you know, if you're hurt or you're stunned. They do things that are just, like, when they, a lot of times you get these fighters that, you know, believe that they're almost superhuman. And this guy, Dave Adams, and he goes, you know, he goes, I just get so used to living on the edge because I get speeding tickets all the time. And I, because I haven't gotten in any trouble for assaulting people. But he goes, I, you know, I always find myself doing stuff on the edge, you know, because I feel like I'm superhuman.
Yeah, I got that. The Vernon Forrest situation was kind of a shame, too, because, I mean, here you have a guy who's, who gets robbed, and then, you know, tries to play the cop at the same time. You know, he's carrying around a gun, and he's trying to fight with a gun. And obviously, the assailant outsmarted him, it looks like, and got behind him somehow and shot him 10 times in the back, from what I heard in the first reports. So,
well, that's what the one guy was lying in wait in the bushes on this. It was like they knew he was going to. It almost seems like it was pre-planned. Not just the robbery part of it, but like the whole setup part of it. I mean, maybe they were just looking for somebody and figuring that maybe we'll be telling this guy to change one gun in the back. I don't know. But, last Saturday was a real tough day for me, personally. I had found out about Vernon Forrest early Sunday morning, and I don't know if you heard the big news coming out of Philadelphia last week about the murder of the baseball game.
No.
I was at the game Friday night, something I literally, because I was at the exact same place where it happened. There's a bar right inside the Philly Stadium. It's open all night, and the Phillies don't even play in there. You know, you can get it from the outside. And I was at that bar Friday night, and Saturday, I didn't know the guy personally, but he was friends of mine. He was there with a group of guys, there was another group of guys there, somebody did a horrible thing of spilling the beer on somebody else. The fight broke out, they ended up in the parking lot, and they, 3 or 4 guys stopped this woman to death. And it's sad because, like I said, this guy was friends of mine, they were all at the funeral today. But it also gives you this thing of mortality, because I was at that exact same spot 24 hours prior. So this one was not an easy one for me. Plus the game I went to, you know, the Phillies won like something like 7 of 8 of the last home games. I went to the game they lost.
Yeah, they've been doing hell, like, just unbelievably good. Plus they're like the front runners to get Halliday, I hear. So I'm not too happy with my Red Sox tanking. Dropped his hands early, so I tagged him in the face and gave him a good bloody nose, and then for the rest of the round, I kind of struggled and, you know, really get gassed. I think what happened was I saw the blood, and I went into combat adrenaline mode. You know how everything just, you know, you just all of a sudden you're like, you know, into this position like, oh man, I gotta fight this guy off really bad, you know, I can't let him hit me. So, you know, I saw the blood and I just kept trying to throw shots and trying to look good and not realizing I had to pace myself. And that, ironically, just one piece of advice my trainer there, Tony Petronelli, tells me, he goes, pace yourself, try it out there. What did I do? I just sped myself in the first minute. So the next few minutes, I was just kind of running around, bouncing off the ropes, and getting tagged here and there, but never to the direct face. I had a little tiny trace of a bruise under my eye. Couldn't even see it the next day. But the only other real injury I had was, you know, my head hurt a little bit. But I think that happens almost every time after you box a little, so I wasn't worried about that. And the other kid had a bloody nose, so I think I did all right. And plus, you know, I gave up at the end of the first round, just like I did against the Navy guy. But, you know, I think I was in worse shape this time than I was against the Navy guys. That story that I always tell. And I think the kid felt really good that was his first time really, you know, boxing after a couple months of training up there. And, you know, it was good to give him that sense of, hey, you know, you could beat up on a guy who has some experience. So I'm not embarrassed about it, you know. I'm definitely committed to, you know, getting there and working harder. But it's a lot of work.
Desert Storm Bradley, the champion, he's like Nate Galaxy Warrior Campbell.
Bradley, undefeated, so he came up last year with a big shocking upset over junior winner in England, dropping winner and winner by decision. The defended the title two times by decision over Andrew Cherry, and then he got off the canvas to beat Kendall Hole. But Nick Campbell, which is an interesting fight, because you know, Bradley is the younger guy, he's almost 5 years old, 5'6", where Campbell, a little bit older. So, very experienced, 37 years old, 33-5, 25 knockouts. His only two losses that he had by stoppage were both against an Australian fighter named Robski. Their first fight, back in 04, Campbell was kicking the shit out of Meade for 5 rounds. The referee's about to stop the fight. Campbell got caught, dropped his hand, pointed himself to the chin, and Meade threw a left hook and knocked him out cold. Campbell's come back since then. He's looking pretty good. And in the last fight, he beat Ali Kuneka. After he beat Ron Diaz last year, tore Ron Diaz apart. So he's got age, age and experience versus youth and stamina. And most of the media is going with Bradley. He's 24-0, 11 knockouts. And they think, you know, being 12 years younger, legs are a little bit fresher. They're just saying, you know, he's going to win in close fight. He's the betting favorite, 2.5-1. And the round, it goes over, which is 9.5 rounds, and everybody's going with over this because it's going to be a Bradley going to be in position.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting fight. I mean, I know Nate Campbell's been around a while, but you never want to bet against the undefeated guy either. So I would guess Bradley myself. But Nate Campbell has a hell of a lot of experience, so you never know what he's going to bring. And the other card fights are good ones, too.
Well, Devin the Great Alexander, 18-0, 11 knockouts, going against the aforementioned junior winner, he's only got 2 losses.
Right.
Those being Bob Jr. And Timmy Travel, he's 37-2, 2 falls, 22 knockouts. And I don't know if you noticed, Rich, but our girl was on the card too.
Oh yeah, Kalisha West. Yeah, I got a message about that the other day and put it on the blog already. Good stuff.
Yeah, she's coming up for first loss back in November, and she's playing Rolanda Andrews, who's 8-4, 1 draw.
8-7.
8-7, she had 4 knockouts. So, she lost her last fight. She lost to Ava Knight, who was 4-0. She coming into the fight. And even Ava said that, you know, the beginning of the round, it was K-Rod West was just, you know, blinding her for speed. And then Ava Knight, you know, just, you know, kind of made it more of like a tactical warfare. Kind of slowed the fight up more into her favor. And that's how she won it. I mean, a very close decision. It was 2 points on all 3 judges' cards.
Yikes. I think it's pretty close. But, hey, you know, we can't all be undefeated forever. She's still going. I mean, and, you know, it's tough in the female ranks as it is, you know, because there's not enough talent. But I guess now she's bumping up. She doesn't usually fight at bantamweight. I think she's bumping up or going down for this fight for some reason because there's not enough talent to want to fight her even with 1 loss. You know, never mind being undefeated and trying to find a fight, but even with 1 loss, it's tough for her. She is, you know, she's doing good with it.
The box rec page, I mean, she's bumping up and down a weight her whole career. She started off at 118, and she got down to 160, and she had 2 fights in a row at 143. Her last fight, 2 months, was 117. And it doesn't have, you know, what the weight's supposed to be for this fight. There's a featherweight division, which is right around, featherweight is 126, and she's right, she's bumping up, because this girl has been as heavy as, when she started her career, she was 142, then she has gotten down to the, 124, 125 range. You know, but she, last year, she had her first 2 fights, and, you know, 4 years, showed up the 130 back in 04. I guess she went to retirement. She came back at 123 late August with a 2-round stoppage. And then our last point was in November, which was a split decision in four rounds. She was 124. Definitely
pumping
up for this one.
And Luke's favorite fighter is fighting on Saturday too, didn't you?
Rocky Marciano?
No, Christy Martin. Remember? He said when we asked him who the best fighter is today, he said Christy Martin.
Right, he did say that, didn't he?
She's 41 years old, but her record is 47-5, so she has more wins than her age. 47-5 with 31 knockouts and 3 draws, and she's fighting a girl who's 5-13, so this is pretty much the mismatch of the week, too.
Where is that card taking place?
That is in Huntington, West Virginia. And it's the only fight on the card, so I don't know whether it's,
Oh, yeah, can I see it now? Let me take a look at something. Rich, are you going to laugh at me if I tell you something?
What?
Rain Man is coming through again. The girl she's playing has how many points? 18 points, right?
Yep.
Looking at a record back in 2007. She ran upon somewhere that I may have gone to.
National Guard Armory? Oh, the Blue
no,
Horizon.
That.
The Blue Horizon.
I covered one of her fights.
Oh, there you go.
She's actually a tough girl. We gotta see what Christy has left. I mean, this girl, she's also 41 years old. So it's gonna be the battle of 41 year olds.
Oh, yeah.
She's quite a tough girl. Olivia Fonseca, who, recently did her fight in Philadelphia, and she did very well. More of a boxer now. But Olivia, a tall, beautiful girl, she couldn't get out of the way of a punch. And this was the first loss of her career with Kimberly Harris. I was there, and Kimberly just couldn't miss it with the right hand. And we're like, man, for a girl that was, four and whatever she was going into that fight, 4-10, she really kicked the crap out of this, taller and much more athletic girl. And we're like, we got two girls. 41 years old, Christy Martin, has been in the ring 50 times. So she's 55 times she's won in her career. One of the most well known female fighters out there. She had her last fight just about a year ago, winning a draw with one of her old rivals, Valerie Buffoon. Christy, in her last two fights, she had a draw, win two decision losses. And then in 03, she was stopped by Nate Ali, but Junior Christie, who was always around the 140 range in 5'4", played Nate Ali, who was, almost 6 feet tall and 100 feet down. That was kind of a mismatch.
Yeah. Well, whatever happens, I'm sure that the old ladies are going to impress.
I'm going to play something funny, Rich. I was telling her it was full of a bunch of stuff. But I was getting ready to graduate Lockheed, so I'm graduating with degree in mass communications. And I have one professor who actually was the one that did the advertising and PR emphasis. And she hated me, and I hated her. But I wanted to do advertising, I wanted to do public relations. But we hated each other. Part of it was the fact that she was a lesbian feminist. She hated athletes. Well, she wasn't the girls in the and the girls were the team. She wasn't a sports fan, but they were females, and a lot of the girls on the road team were lesbians. She kind of liked them, and, the athletic director for the females was lesbians. She liked her, obviously. She did all the male sports. Well, getting ready to graduate, I got one more, class with her. I'm like, I'm going to great bump up my GPA a little bit. I took this class, and, I'm getting around with a B in there, which is actually pretty good for associate people. And I said, what I'm going to hit her with is we had to, do this journal, and we get to, I don't even remember the class was, Rich, but the one thing I was talking about was, I think it was, sexuality in the media. I was talking about, how women are perceived, how men are perceived in sports, in journalism, and this and that. And, I'm going to write a story about women Bob and Chris Warren wrote the focus of it. I got it. I ended up getting an A on that particular piece of the article because I think it was a woman doing something great. Oh, she loved that. Like, oh, there was something like Muhammad Ali doing, you know, humanitarian with male, female, we got a B minus.
I'll tell you, man, that Joey Giambra's a lucky guy. I'm checking. I'm doing the show set up here, and for some reason, every week, he's set up as our guest, because I guess he must have been the first one we did on this. Every link is Joey Giambra, the Unground Champion, for our radio show. It's a different date.
I would say that's a Marciana Foundation, RockyWins49.com.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah,
knockout, three in the first, two in the second. and you only win from a four-round decision like 3 years ago. I mean, seems to be a nice guy. I mean, I don't win anymore. You had Chicago, a friend of Kendo, beat a little spot out of Bruce Elden. I think him in 9 rounds. Another sad, tragic moment happened last week down in Mississippi.
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
And San Francisco, Bach base, a lot of this, and tragedy. Bach Giovanni was a 5-2, 5 knockout coming in. Was actually losing the fight to Bach base, who was 1-0. And landed a walk-out boom boom, knocked Montevideo out cold, and unfortunately Montevideo went into a coma and passed away the next day. These are two heavyweights. Evans was 254, Montevideo was 218, he was a big guy. His only other fight, which was only 2 months ago, he was 292, so he was just a big guy, and unfortunately, sad about there. Become a fighter whether he's a headliner or he's just a young guy trying to make a living.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me because I'm sitting here trying to go pro and I'm thinking, I'm only going to be doing 4 rounders. This is in the 4th round of a 4-round fight that it happened. So.
Well, true. I mean, I know there's only a few more seconds left in the fight and that was just a situation where a guy got hit and it was a plump 40 trauma. He's been taking a sustained beating. He was winning the fight. And it's just a situation where he got hit with a shot that unfortunately concussed the brain. I remember another situation back about 19 years ago where a fighter that had died of a brain injury and it was almost like the brain was twisted inside of his head, which is obviously very scary. I would tell you right now, I don't think it would be a reason for me not to pursue it.
I'm not scared. I'm just concerned,
Of course. What expert, you don't need to be concerned.
Right.
If I was going forward now against, a 7-year-old, I'd be concerned. that's the way I always to myself.
I learned
this
from my
day and about seeing a whole lot of I'm actually I'm looking for fresh cards off that. I only recognized one name that was down in Mexico. We discussed it last week, Samuel Peter, and he won by 3rd round knockout. So I mean there were Marcus McGee is a guy that basically he can run into a lot of fights to get beat. you beat a guy that was 2-16, you beat a guy that was 13-30. You're gonna get the guy that was 30-30 gets knocked out. You're gonna get the guy that was 37-6 loses. But the guy who won 5 wins.
Yep. Well, we do have some mixed martial arts events coming up. I just want to run down real quick through them. Tomorrow night, we have 3 different events. First one's in Calusa, California. It's called Total Recall Gladiator Challenge. And then we have my neck of the woods, a little up north in Salem, New Hampshire, at the Ice Center. We have American Steel Cage Fighting 1. If you want to know any information about that, we have a ton of blogs on that subject. They've done real well marketing that, so we've got it all over the blog. Then we go to Northern Mariana Islands, wherever that is, for Trench Wars 10, Collision. And that's at the Royal Taga Hall over there in West Beach, Saipan, in the Northern Mariana Islands. So if you're an island type of fight fan, you can go see that. On Saturday, we have the huge event that we're going to be talking to a couple fighters in a few minutes here. Brockton, Massachusetts, at Campanelli Stadium. I believe that starts at 7, and there's about 20 fights on that card, so it's going to be real good stuff. And we just did a podcast with the matchmaker and promoter for that the other day. So if you want to hear more about that, you can just go to our podcast page at fnu.mypodcast.com, and you can find that. There's also a bunch of other events going on same night over in Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil. We have the Pozil Challenge from WFC, and we have Mescalero, New Mexico. We have King of the Cage Gatekeeper at the End of the Mountain Gods Resort Casino. And then we have Rage in the Cage 132 at Casa Grande, Arizona, in the Airport Tavern. And then Summer Brawl at Ring of Fire 35. Summer Brawl event is going to be in Broomfield, Colorado. And another King of the Cage event in Nova Scotia, Canada, at the Halifax Forum in Halifax, and it's called Decadence. And then we go to Sunday for three events on Sunday, and they're all in Japan. Two of them in Tokyo, one is SWAT 28 from CST, and then the DEEP, the New Generation of Pride, is going to the Kyo Plaza Hotel in Tokyo for Club DEEP Hachioji. And then Sengoku is having a ninth battle, it's called, at the Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Japan. So that about does it for these martial arts events upcoming. And, of course, next week is going to be UFC 101 at Philadelphia Wachovia Center. And we do have a fighter from that card that we can get on the show. We haven't really locked it yet, but... friends with the same folks who hooked us up with the Cage Effects fighters tonight. So chances are that'll happen for next week. Guy's name is John Howard, and I think he's fighting another local guy, Camden McCrory, who's nicknamed the Barn Cat, and I've seen him at a couple of local events. And speaking of funny nicknames, what came up during the podcast call we had with the promoter and matchmaker of this Cage Effects the other day. I think I swear you had mentioned somebody in boxing with this nickname before, but I guess there's somebody on the Cage Effects card with the nickname the Rabbit Squirrel.
Rabbit Squirrel? What do I know that for?
Yeah, I knew. Something, it had something to do with you.
You know what it was? It was our call of names. It was our fight in Chuck Tatia.
Oh, right. That's for
yeah. And then it was the name of the squirrel. What is that? Yo, you know what? I just read Chuck Masaccio in the paper the other day. He's got a fight coming up. Let me look up Boxer before, you know. This actually sounded really interesting. And I was like, ooh, I got to tell Rich. And then I forgot. So he just want to remind me. Good things. There we go. Chuck Masaccio. Yes, Chuck Masaccio is fighting in a few weeks. Friday, August 21st, it's going to be in Morgantown, West Virginia, fighting a gentleman named Tommy Carpenti, 17-1, one draw, 11 knockouts, Chuck is 13-0, and two draws, and five knockouts. And here's what they're fighting for, which is, I believe, Chuck's first 10-round fight, and they are fighting for, you ready? Wait for it.
Uh-oh.
The WBA. Better search for a light heavyweight title.
Whoa, that's serious business.
That is serious business. I mean, that's better search for, man.
It's WBA. That's something.
Yeah, I'm looking at Tommy Carpenti's record now. This is going to hurt the shit out of Chuck, but he has a win over Chuck's boy Willis Lockett in November of last year. That was a close fight. Bill on the card. It was in Newcastle, PA. He had a position. Lockett, will not give Chuck that rematch.
Oh, look at his only loss, too.
Chuck's going to have the age on him. He's had more. he's had about the same number of fights. He's had five more fights than Chuck. Chuck is obviously talking about very long arms. Carpentier only lost for a win because of the decision to Ranger Saunders. He's very experienced. So what Chuck is going to have to do is going to have a hard time landing a jab against that ball, which is Chuck's bread and butter. So,
alright, well, let's get these guys on the phone here.
Yeah.
John on here. Another ring.
Leave a message and I'll call you back.
Well,
I can't believe he's not answering the phone.
He's flaking out. He's too busy. He's too busy preparing for his big fight.
I know he's tired, but I didn't think he'd fall asleep that quick.
Yeah. Would you guys work out together, I take it?
Yeah, he's my partner.
All right.
Yeah, I get to beat up on a little, get to beat up on me.
So what's it like looking at all this talent in New England? I mean, you guys, obviously you're in a big circuit here now that is picking up speed and picking up a lot of other fighters from some of the other outfits, like the reality fighting that comes through here, and I've seen some of the full force events down in Plymouth. But this one seems to be like bigger than all the rest and out to do some real good shows. So what's that like being a part of that?
I'm jumping in the deep end. I know Gary Foreman for years, and he gave me the opportunity to get involved, and I couldn't pass it up. These guys are very professional about what they're doing, and I went to Y Crew, which is a place that's tough as hell. And I'm with good people, man, so I appreciate what's going on.
And you're fighting, obviously, in your adopted hometown, I guess, since you started in Dorchester, but now you live in Brockton, now it's your hometown, so that's got to be a kick, huh? In a stadium, no less.
Yeah, I mean, for my first fight to be in the close fight for at least 8,000 people, I think, on that field, the field, top minor league field in the country, it's more than I can ask for.
Right. So before this, you just had some street fights here and there and some wrestling background, you said?
I like I said, I wrestled 17 years, so that was my thing. I had a full wrestling coach in Central Connecticut. I stopped years ago, and I'll be 44 next month, and unfortunately, I fought for like 20 years, and I got good striking power and good wrestling background, so those two things are going to go together pretty well, I think.
So, when you say you did some street fighting, was it like organized street brawls, or was it just, going out and looking for a fight, getting into a lot of them?
Sometimes a combination of both. I've had more than a handful of paint street fights, and then you run the front of the bar fighter, I guess.
So, I mean, this is one of the things we talked about. Actually, I did a little article for the program about misconceptions of boxers. And what one thing I mentioned is that most of the time you'll find that fighting, organized fighting at least, will get a lot of people out of trouble rather than in it. So have you found that to be the case in your situation?
Yeah, I will say this. I feel a lot calmer. It's more of a lifestyle change for me, which is I was looking for that because what I was doing was only lead me into trouble worse. So, yeah, it's helping me a lot. And I will say, I give a lot of credit for calming me down.
All right. Well, that's good. And what do you know about this guy you're going to be fighting Saturday? Anything?
I heard he's taking Shotokan karate. He's supposed to be a street fighter himself. I really don't know too much about him. But he's fighting, I guess, so. He's supposed to have the same background as mixed martial arts as I have, so should be trained even quite, I would think.
And, looking at this whole event, what do you think about the whole concept of, fighting in a stadium, and, just being around all those people, and does it add any nervousness to it, or?
I went to the show they had in New Hampshire 3 months ago. I haven't been to a show, a professional show, but I haven't been to like an amateur show like that. And I was impressed with the way they did the presentation. I liked the way the crowd interacted with the fighters. I thought that was cool. So I asked Gary, I said, is there any chance that I could do this? And he said, he's going to fight Brockton and fighting out that field with all the people. I'm probably going to have 2,000 personal friends of mine there. It's going to be totally cool.
So you think that's going to make you fight a lot harder?
Oh, yeah, I'll couldn't play hard with Calvin. I'm not really like over anxious or excited about it because I've left with the years that I've you know, state championships and stuff like that, so I'm used to competing at a pretty high level. So I'm not nervous or not like that. I'm just looking forward to putting on a show for my family and my friends.
And what's your ultimate goal with this sport? I mean, I'm a kind of an old guy, too, at 32 here almost. I'm trying to get back into boxing myself so I can relate a little bit with getting a late start. But how long do you want to go in?
The guys that look like Baker is looking forward to a UFC career maybe down the road. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for lifestyle change, like I said, keep in shape. I'll go 4 or 5 years, maybe. I'll go amateur probably for a year, and then go pro after that, see what happens. But I'm not really looking for much. If I get anything out of it, and that's great. If I just get to fight, that's great, too.
Right. And, you know, what kind of background have you added to your repertoire in recent months? Anything new to your game that you've been able to pick up from training with other people or anything?
I'm getting comfortable. Obviously, wrestlers are not comfortable on their back, so you know I'm becoming more comfortable doing the jiu-jitsu on my back. Mounted position, I'm getting comfortable. Going down, like stand-up striking, just polishing the things that I basically had already. I'm just tightening it up.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these guys in the UFC who, like you mentioned, like Chuck Liddell and. And I think BJ Penn is going to be the next guy. But, you know, these big legends that have been around forever are starting to get these younger guys catching up to them because they're more well-rounded and they figured out how to add new things and new twists that nobody's ever thought of because of the different disciplines that are out there in martial arts that you can integrate. And one of the guys that really comes to mind, you don't hear too much about him these days, but Kung Lee. I mean, he's got the karate and Shaolin and all that kind of background that he can just slap you in the face with a kick and, you know, come back with a swipe on the reverse. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable.
It's just like every other sport you watch, as time goes by, everybody gets better and better and better. And these young guys, it's going to become probably the most popular sport right now. So you're going to have kids that are 4th, 5th grade, learning this stuff, by the time they, you know, they're 25 years old, they're nasty, I would think.
Right. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but Floyd Mayweather has just been in the press talking smack about MMA and how there's no white boxers dominating, so they had to go out and create their own sport of MMA. Well, I mean, the guy is really the number one figure in boxing, unfortunately. And, you know, he's coming out of the woodwork and stirring stuff up because that's his job. But at the same time, you know, a lot of that sentiment is genuine. And, you know, he gets away with it just because he's such a good boxer and he's such a good sell. And he does sell a lot of tickets. So. But, you know, it was kind of funny to me that he goes out and says that kind of stuff and he doesn't get the kind of flack that, you know, other stories get that you wouldn't think would get so much. You know, like this whole Professor Gates thing in Harvard, you know, that comes out as this big racial thing that everybody's complaining about. When Floyd Mayweather flat out says white guys can't box, nobody raises an eyebrow, you know?
Hey, it's reverse discrimination all day long.
Yeah. It's, you know, this,
hey, I can get into that, but I have strong feelings on all that stuff.
Yeah, I believe it. Now, coming into this fight, it's going to be your first fight, you said, amateur?
My first fight.
Do you have any kind of game plan that you're thinking about? Do you want to strike more, or you want to try to go for a takedown, or are you just pretty much leaving it up to chance?
I've been jumping back and forth. I'm thinking of coming out striking a traditional stance with my right hand back. I got strong hands. But then I'm thinking about coming out softball. And circling a little bit, taking them down, do a little ground and pound. Whatever presents itself, I think I'll go that route.
Right. And what's your favorite do you have a favorite submission or a favorite punch or anything like that?
I get a very strong right hand. My left hook's pretty good. Ground and pound would probably be my submission of choice, if that even is considered a submission. But
sometimes it leads to one. So.
I'm gonna punch so heavy, so hard that you have to stop it, I would think.
And do you have any role models growing up that helped you out through the years, got you interested in the sport, either inside or outside the sport, that just kind of helped you out?
I like the old school guys, Jack Dempsey, Willie Kemp, stuff like that. Guys, just tough guys, like to fight.
Well, being from Brockton, like you must know about Rocky, too.
Well, come on, obviously, I try to emulate him a little bit. I mean, it's tough. It's undefeated, but he had heart, and it would take a punch to give a punch, and I'm willing to do that.
Right. Yeah, that right of his was just unbelievable. I've been following him a lot. I actually got really involved with the Rocky Marciano Foundation, and been trying to learn his history and learn more about him and set up a website for that.
I'm good friends with his nephew.
Yeah, so a hell of a family, and you know, the guy himself, I don't know all that much about him, but from what I found out, and from what I think everybody gets the impression when they learn about him, he's just a regular guy, you know, he's very honest, straightforward, nice guy, you know, always took the game seriously and never backed down from anybody and always did just what he had to do to win. You watch some of his fights. Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate he doesn't get enough credit. You know, a lot of people rank some of the other heavyweights above him, even though they weren't undefeated. But, hey, what can you do?
I mean, when Larry Holmes and Phil Jensen, you can't blame the guy because the division sucks, so...
Yeah.
Say he was there when the guys were getting older, and he's talking to all the guys, whatever it was. You can't blame him for that.
Right. All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add? Anybody you want to give a shout out to or anything like that?
I'd like to give a shout out to my daughter, Pete Marie Dunn from the Mary E. Baker School. I'd like to give her a shout out. This guy's a white crew. The other guy, rocking and fighting on the card. All the power to him.
All right. And we look forward to seeing you in action. I'll be there myself, and I'll be taking notes and maybe doing a little film. I don't know how many memory cards I'm going to have to go through to catch all the fights, but I'll at least see if I can get a few seconds of your fight.
I'll see you at the apple pie.
All right. Sounds good to me. And it's been nice having you on, and keep on keeping on, I guess.
I appreciate it.
Make us old guys look good, right?
Yeah, I'll fight for the
middle-aged
man. That's what I'm telling people.
All right. Have a good night, man. Thanks a lot. Okay, we're going to try Sean Baker again. Okay, so it looks like Sean's not going to be on the show. We got through all the mixed martial arts and boxing schedules. We talked to Steve, making his amateur cage debut there on August 1st. Check out cagefx.com for more information on the event, and we'll definitely be there and provide some nice coverage for the blog afterwards. We'll get that right up as soon as we can, by next day anyway. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody there in the area. And we'll be pulling for all the local guys, Brockton hometown kids, who are going to be on the card. And we'll see everybody next week. Hopefully. Basically, we're going to be having John Howard on from UFC 101 card. He's going to be fighting Camden McCrory. And I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. We got TriStateCageFighting.com. Check them out. BulletFightGear.com. And also Respec, R-E-S-P-E-K, Fightwear.com is another one. And Brondo and Cocaine Energy Drinks, if you go to www.drinkredux.com, you can find links to both those sites for Brondo and Cocaine Energy Drink. Don't forget, folks, to check out FightSpaceOnline.com. It's a community of fight fans and fight professionals, fight industry people, whatever. If you like fighting, if you have anything to do with fighting, it's a place to network. Get on there and talk to fellow fight fans and people who are interested in fighting of all kinds. Of course, that's going to do it for tonight, and we'll be back again next week with hopefully John Howard, like I said, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.